I don't need, when I'm wiping, about to wipe my ass, I don't care if you folded the toilet paper into a triangle. Like, just leave it square.
No, I enjoy that.
It doesn't, like, either way, I'm wiping my ass with it. It just seems like something that they do that's completely unnecessary.
But I enjoy it.
What do you mean? What do you enjoy? What do you put the triangle up your ass?
Yeah, I intentionally do that. I like to picture the housekeeper's hands.
Oh my God.
forming the triangle, and it makes me feel close to the housekeeping staff.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Everybody, we're really excited today. We are joined by Roy Bellamy and Christopher in a hotel room in Denver, Colorado. But before we get to that, I have to share a quick story about Charlie the puppy. It's
Chuppy.
So Charlie drank wine the other day by mistake. Erlene had a glass of wine and went in the kitchen for some reason and came back to find the dog lapping out of her glass of wine. It was a beautiful Pinot Noir. I'm not sure if it was Meiomi or not. But so she comes back and he's acting a little loopy, you know. And there's two things remarkable about this story. Number one, he's not a sipper. He's a slurper. And it's amazing that the glass of wine did not spill all over the place. Number two, your mother continued drinking the wine from the same glass that the puppy had slurped out of. And it just astounded me. But that's the only puppy tale I'll
tell. Go to jail? Can you go to jail for that?
For feeding a puppy wine?
Yeah.
I think we could. Yeah, I think the animal security should be knocking on our door and cuffing us at this point.
I'm telling you, little Charlie wasn't as drunk as me last night.
Okay.
Painting the town red in Denver.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're looking at Roy and Christopher in a hotel room. When you guys share a room like that, who takes the bed closest to the window and who gets the other bed?
We didn't share a room.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's separate rooms. Yeah.
Right. Roy just walked down here.
Okay. So tell me why, people know probably, but tell us why you're in Denver. You failed spectacularly to win the championship for the Avalanche last night. How does it feel to have failed so badly on the Sheets and Giggle Dime? They spent thousands of dollars to send you guys there to defeat the mighty Tampa Bay Lightning. You couldn't get it done. Explain yourself.
You act like they lost 7-2 like it was game three. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
Well,
we were close. Hey, I'm telling you, that atmosphere was insane. Yeah, we did not get the win. You're right. All right, well, there's nothing we could say about that. But
okay. That
atmosphere last night was, I mean, obviously, it was a clinching scenario. The Avalanche know how to do it, man. That was just an insane atmosphere. It was really fun. I mean, obviously, we didn't get the result. I was wearing Panthers gear, and Colorado people are so nice that only like three people all night mentioned it. You know what I mean? Like, you would think that it would be a big talking point of a lot of people. Like, yeah. Oh, why is there a Panther fan here? Everyone is so nice here that nobody was like wanted to insult me. So they just like let me wear my Panthers gear.
You know why they're all so nice there? Because they're all legally stoned.
That might be, but people are palpably nice here. It's like, I know like there's the whole shtick about people in South Florida are jerks, like, but people are just genuinely friendly here. And it's like jarring sometimes. It's like, whoa, like, are you messing with me? Am I being punked?
Chris Mountain Air, that's what it is.
Yeah, the Mountain Air. And I'm dry, man. My throat's dry. My lips are dry.
Greg, did the Herald send you guys or make you guys share rooms back in the day when you would travel?
No, I would normally have my own room. I did most of my traveling alongside Edwin Pope, the great legendary sports editor. And
think of that name you just dropped.
That's right. And Edwin was of an age and a stature where he ain't going to share a room. You know what I'm saying? The only time I did share a room with Edwin actually was at the Barcelona Olympics in 94. Because
why was there? Wait, wasn't that like a 3-week trip?
Yeah, it was. It was like a 3-week trip.
Why? They were just like budget cutting?
Well, it was more of an IOC thing where rooms were scarce enough where one media outlet couldn't get as many rooms as they wanted. So we ended up having to share a room. Not only that, but it was the opposite of a luxurious hotel room. It was more like an army barracks room, like totally Spartan. All it was a sink.
Like bunk bed?
What's that?
Bunk beds?
No, they weren't bunk beds, but they were not much bigger than a cot, Greg cot. And if, they were side by side.
If you and Edwin Pope If you and Edwin Pope ended up in a bunk bed situation, would you be a top or a bottom?
Oh, you know I'd be on top. No, I don't. I would give Edwin his choice. I would defer.
Baby.
I would defer to the great Edwin Pope. So tell me what you guys did other than the arena. And I saw Christopher's tweet that the Avalanche kicked the ass of the Panthers when it comes to hyping up the fans.
Oh, my God, dude. The atmosphere before the game, like their way of like hyping people up with the music and the videos and the crowd. And they had everyone wearing wristbands that lit up in unison. So it was like the whole arena was doing this light show. It was just, I know it's a finals. Maybe the Panthers, if they got to the final, final. I know if the Panthers got there, maybe they would have upped their game. But I saw what the Panthers did in the first round, and it was just, it is night and day to me, that production that we got last night compared to what, like, the Panthers just got to step it up. That's it. Like, I'm a Panthers fan, but they're just, right? I mean, am I wrong? Roy's like, I don't want to crush the Panthers, but
I was going to ask, are you more like excited by what the Avalanche did, or are you more demoralized at what you don't have at home?
A combination of both. Like the my seats have such bad audio at Panthers games. I'm like scarred that like I can't hear anything on the announcing, like the announcers. So it's maybe it's just my seat, and I just have a bad spot. Like maybe my one seat, but whatever. It's just, it was just really cool and really impressive, the production behind last night.
Well, you know, back in my day, you didn't have to hype a crowd because the crowd was already hyped. I'm serious when I say this, and school me on this.
You mean to say in the 80s, there wasn't some sort of like, let's go Heat?
I mean, not like there is today.
That's because technology's better. Like,
okay, but here, okay, here's the scenario. Okay, you're in Denver, Colorado, where Avalanche fans haven't won a Stanley Cup since 2001, okay? You're in the final. You're playing the best team in the league, the two-time champion in a row. It's a huge game. You have a chance to win the Cup. It's the biggest night in franchise history in at least more than 20 years. Why do you need to be hyped up? Why aren't you hyped up?
You're doing this thing. Like, it can be both. Like, the people were fired up walking in. Like, there's a buzz in this city. Even, like, yesterday before the game, like, everyone's got Avs stuff on. Everybody, every bar has an Avs flag. Like, this town is a buzz about this team. And also, they have really good production. You know what I mean? Like, okay. That doesn't mean that the fans aren't really into it because they have good production.
A lot of this is you have to maintain that buzz when you go down.
Yes. As I did last night after the game, you always want to maintain a buzz.
Yeah, okay. And I can only imagine.
Can I give you guys a hotel note that I've like, I want everyone to come up with their most unnecessary hotel luxury.
Okay.
All right, I have mine. The toilet paper triangle.
Oh yeah.
Like I don't need, when I'm about to wipe my ass, I don't care if you folded the toilet paper into a triangle. Like just leave it square.
No, I enjoy that.
It doesn't, like, either way I'm wiping my ass with it. It just seems like something that they do that's completely unnecessary.
But I enjoy it.
What do you mean? What do you enjoy? What do you put the triangle up your ass?
Yeah, I intentionally do that. I like to picture the housekeeper's hands.
Oh my God.
forming the triangle. And it makes me feel close to the
house. I have to admit, I just got distracted by Yeti's shirt because he's wearing a Greg Cody face shirt. And when he leaned back, I was getting like, all of a sudden my dad was making a face at me.
Yeah, that was the cookie you had last night.
Yeah, that too.
Still lingering.
Yeah. Now, Christopher, tell me, you're a legal dope smoker.
By the way, if you want the shirt Yeti's wearing, you can't see it, by the way. If you go to Greg Cody's, thegregcodyshow.com, we have a lot of cool merch. The merch is going to keep growing. We got it, that kind of thing shirt coming out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, limited edition. It'll be the Greg Cody floating head with a nice little that kind of thing logo on it. That is limited edition, available now through the end of June, through June 30th. That's part of our free shipping promotion at shop.gregcody.com.
Ooh, shipping. There's no better conversation starter at a party than having Greg Cody's face inexplicably on your chest.
Yeah, there really isn't. It's a wonder. It makes me so proud. It really does. And you know what let's do? Let's buy Roy one of those shirts with the hopes that he'll wear it on the air on the Levitard show. There's no obligation, although if we spent big bucks to buy him a shirt, he'd probably wear it. Is that right, King Roy?
Well, I did wear a Greg Cody shirt in the vein of that Barack Obama artwork. It was the miracle that gave us that shirt.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And instead of hope, it said C-O-T-E.
Instead of hope, it said dope.
Yeah, it should have. Speaking of dope, yeah, you guys were in Denver where
we still are.
It's legal. It's legal to walk into a store and buy a bunch of gummies or whatever. And since admitting that would not be admitting to any crime because it's perfectly legal. How much of that did you do, Christopher?
Well, here's my gummies.
Okay.
And here's my pre-rolls.
Okay.
Am I being too blunt?
Oi! now you know you can't. Where's Roy going?
Roy doesn't want to be in the video here. Should I light up in here? No, I don't smoke in the hotel room. No. I got a few more.
Yeah, they're prohibited in the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roy is against. Roy, you're against all that, right?
No, I'm actually a progressive. So I'm very much in for it. I just don't smoke. So
yeah, gotcha.
I don't use it.
He might every once in a while. He might take a gummy if the mood sets. All right.
Yeah, I was ready last night.
Yeah, but. Shit hit the fan.
Shit hit the fan.
Shan.
Okay. You know you're not allowed to fly home with that, right, Christopher?
I will not be flying home with anything. It will all be consumed.
Okay.
Not all these, though. These things get you.
What is that? What is that, a gummy?
They're like Starbursts. They're like little, like, taffies.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Do they get you the same way like a fruity drink will? Like it sneaks up on you because it's something that's like kind of like candy so you don't realize how much you're consuming? Or are they just that potent? I mean, I don't know a thing about it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that... It's like beer. It's like if I have 9 of them, I don't really know how many it takes to get me drunk. You know, it's like tough to tell when you just keep eating them. I'm kidding. You eat like one and then like an hour later, you're like, oh, like feeling a little like it's. I mean, for me, someone with a tolerance for it, it's not that jarring. But I'm sure if Yeti ate one, he'd probably fly to the stars.
Let me ask you guys, you had a shout out online and invited fans to meet you and Roy at a local bar before the game. I wondered how that would turn out. I have no idea how many show fans are.
We were blown away by it. We tweeted out the day of, so we didn't give people like a bunch of time to know about it. And I would say 25 or 30 people at least like showed up.
Wow.
over the course of an hour. And yeah, we had a whole group of people. Like we had like a whole corner of the bar like blocked off, and I was like expecting it to be kind of sad and only have 2 or 3 people or something. But actually somebody here, move on. Like one of the ladies said something to me last night.
Move on.
Okay. No, I was genuinely curious whether 2 people would show up or 20. You know, I had no idea.
This nice lady. It was, what did she say? It was something with like, did she name her dog or like her son? Somebody in her life, this nice lady, and I feel like an asshole for not remembering the specifics, but all I know is in my notes, I have Bond, Greg Bond. And I don't know how this lady named something Greg for you. I don't know. Like, I'm butchering all this. I shouldn't even have brought it up at this point because I don't remember the specifics. But it was this nice lady, and she's like, you have to tell your dad that I named, like, I don't know, something Greg Bond.
Okay.
Her gold bond, Greg Bond?
Yeah, she named her gold bond, Greg Bond. Okay.
Well, I'm thrilled, and I would have been more thrilled if she had named her dog the Greg Cody Show podcast.
You would have been more thrilled if I remembered the story so I could actually, you know, tell you what happened.
That's exactly right. I have a quick father-son Cody Olympics update, and I know Roy's a big fan of the father-son Cody Olympics, so he's on edge here waiting for it. We don't have any new event in this episode, but there's a major update. I have unilaterally made a big decision and changed events. I'm swapping out events. Now, I want to explain, Christopher is the executive producer of our little podcast here, so he's the boss technically, but it's one of those situations where he's like the premier of England, but I'm the queen. So I have certain autonomy when it comes to stuff like that. And the queen is about to make an executive order. Are you ready for this? Our events remaining are ping pong, a 2-lap swim, and field goal kicking. Well, guess what? The 2-lap swim is out.
Of course. I think that would be the best video for social.
The best video was probably the shopping spree where you cheated and beat me by 50 seconds. But so guess what the new event is?
Please tell us. I don't know.
I want everybody to take one guess what the new event might be.
So you can wear their underwear the longest.
No.
Yodeling.
That's a good guess. Yodeling. Cause I used to yodel professionally as a child. Roy, what's your guess?
Fastest skater. I don't know. Okay.
All right. The answer, and I'm not sure if this is one word or two, cornhole.
Oh, Dad, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Oh, God. I think I'm good at cornhole.
You think you're good at everything.
When have you ever played?
I have played, I played last month in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm just telling you, like, you're gonna get whooped. But
no,
can we switch ping pong?
No, I'm good at cornhole. And and by the way, Christopher's younger brother Michael, the other one,
that's what his name is.
It was kind enough, Christopher and Tatiana.
That's Michael and Tati. I'm Christopher.
I mean, Michael and Tatiana were nice enough to buy me a huge cornhole set for Father's Day.
Oh, this is why.
How about that?
Oh, okay.
Well, did you ask for that?
No, I didn't, but I was thrilled to get it.
Look at them over-gifting. I didn't get you anything for Father's Day.
I was going to say, is this your backdoor way of, like, saying that they gave you something better than Chris?
Yeah, I just gave him a card.
Yeah, but it was a nice card. It was a nice card. That card had to cost $4 or $5.
They all do. Cards are a ripoff.
Yeah, they are a ripoff.
By the way, random thought that Roy and I had on this trip. Roy and I both, we love a good variable.
A what?
A variable.
Yeah, like.
What do you mean by that?
Or equations, you know.
Like.
Variable?
Did I say it wrong? Is it?
Yeah, variable, yeah.
X. Well, Yeti likes, Yeti has to enunciate every letter in a word. So like, he's like, variable.
Variable.
It's a variable.
All right, what the hell do you mean?
I forget, what were we talking about when we were like, wow, that's a, like, you couldn't have thought of that variable. I love a good, I just love it, it like changes stuff. You think, hey, we're going to go to dinner tonight at this time, and then boom, my laptop has only 15%, so we got to record, blah, 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 boom, a variable, we change our plans. I just love when something happens that changes the course. Roy and I, big fans of variables.
That's right.
There, I said it right that time, Yeti.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm anti-variable.
Wow.
I really am. In fact,
imagine that, Greg, it being not being a fan of adaptability.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, your mother will testify to this, Christopher. And here's a classic example that happens all the time to us. Okay, we agree on where we're going to eat. We agree on the restaurant. We're headed there. It's a plan. It's in place. And then we're a mile from the restaurant, and your mother will say something like, unless you'd rather have Italian food tonight.
Oh,
in other words, she at the last minute, she introduces variable. A potential variable.
No, that's an audible.
Yeah, that is an audible.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I mistook that for a variable.
Yeah.
Okay. So an audible. A variable,
like mom is putting that into it. Like mom is controlling that.
So it's a wild card.
So it's not, and mom is a wild card, and that's an audible. Whereas if it was something that you guys couldn't have foreseen, that's a variable.
That's right. It's the intangibles of the situation.
Mom's calling an audible there at the line of scrimmage. Well, she's not even. She's like suggesting an audible.
Yeah, and I'm denying it. I'm sticking with the play.
Yeah.
She just went Omaha.
So you're right. You're a fan of being late running to the airport, and all of a sudden there's an accident on the freeway.
That's a variable. Yeah, see, that's what I mean. That's why you got to leave early, because variables happen. Right.
Yeah, but the variable is not my fault. For example, if I leave in plenty of time to get to a Levitard show recording on time, but traffic is extra heavy, just to use a crazy example.
UPOS. Okay, I'm mad at you right now. When there's traffic.
Point of sale? Did you mean point of sale?
When there's traffic every day, you have to anticipate. That's not a variable. That's every day there's traffic.
No, some days it's worse than others.
So are you.
Well, that's a fact, Jack. But Stu Gotz will testify. He's the only one who drives farther to the studio than I do for the Levitard show. And he says that all the time. We nod every time. Hey, traffic was great today. Traffic was shit today. You know, so it changes. It's variable.
Does every city in the country have something in that city called Riverside something?
Probably so.
There's a Riverside in Fort Lauderdale. I saw a Riverside in Denver. Every city has a Riverside. There are too many Riversides.
Even if they don't have a river.
Even my tiny town that I grew up in had Riverside Park. That's where we played soccer.
Stop with the Riversides. This is a PSA. All you cities out there, enough with the Riversides.
Do you have any alternatives that you could propose?
Lakeside.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, Lakeside's good.
Buttside. Anything. Just give me something different.
There's also a lot of riverfronts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not just river. I think the riverfront outranks the riverside. You never see a river back or a river rear.
Yeah. a river ass. One thing that made me laugh last night at the final game, and it's something that you get at every sporting event. If a home team goes down early in a game, so in a hot, like let's say a basketball game team goes down 10 points in the first quarter. Let's say in the first period, a hockey team goes down 1-0. You always hear like somebody in the crowd say long game. Like last night, the Lightning got a goal in the first period, and I just like heard it. I don't know who said it. It was like, you just heard, okay, long game.
Right.
Okay. And what's the origin of that? Does anyone know, Roy?
I mean,
no.
I mean, it's not that deep, right? It's just they're saying there's a lot of time left.
Yeah, it's just we're not out of it. A lot of time left. That's all.
Long game.
The things we tell ourselves to, you know, try to make ourselves.
I just laughed. It like made me chuckle. It made me chuckle. When I was just like, oh, it's so cute. They're so upset. And they were so high and so, because of the weed, they were so high on life.
Yeah, right.
Because they were so excited about this game. And then they give up a goal. And it's just like, it's okay. We're fine. Long game.
Long game. Speaking of long games, when you coach a 4- and 5-year-old soccer team, it can be a long game, even though it's only 40 minutes because they don't pay any attention. But
By the way, I heard you on the Levitard show trying to take all the credit. You know, not giving our boy John any credit for that game.
Yeah, I was implying that I was the only coach, wasn't I?
Yeah, I may or may not have gotten a text from John, like your dad's taking all the credit.
I'm sorry, John.
He clearly doesn't know your father.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But John did most of the coaching. I mean, he did all the exchanges and the who's in and who's out. And I'm just the rah-rah guy trying to wake up my goaltender when he or she is napping or looking for butterflies. But we keep track of the score, and we probably shouldn't, because theoretically no score is kept. But I have never coached, played in, or watched any game at any level where I ain't keeping score.
Right.
I know whether or not my team won or lost at the end of the game. I'm sorry if I shouldn't at 4 years old, but I do. Roy, is Claire athletically inclined?
She is now in ballet.
Ooh, nice.
She's getting her start there. I would really like her to play hockey, but yeah, we'll ease all the way into that.
That's a sport. Like probably like $300 of gear just to like.
Yeah, seriously.
And then they keep growing, so you got to get new gear.
That strikes me as a rather jarring transition from ballet to hockey.
No. That helps. You got to have agility to play hockey.
Okay.
I had a thought yesterday, and it's a random one, but I'm going to express it right now. Okay. Ropes are underutilized.
No, not really. It's not underutilized.
I love a good rope. And think about it.
Hell yeah.
Outside of boats, tying, like, if boats didn't exist, where do we still use ropes?
It's a pulley system.
Where are we? I mean, I know there's
your
like
curtains, man.
Okay. But my point is like, think about your life. Technology has like swooped in, and these ropes, like there's nothing like a good rope, man. You see,
I love a rope.
The ropes that tie like a cruise ship together, the thickness of this rope.
Oh yeah.
I swear to God, I couldn't cut it. If you gave me like the sharpest knife and 7 years to cut this rope, I would not be able to cut through a cruise ship rope.
I used one the other day. We bought our first basketball goal and couldn't fit all the way in the back of the van. So it was hanging out. So you have to tie like.
All right. That's actually a good nomination. Like, where are we still using ropes to tie down things in cars? That's one. Tug of war. People don't even play tug of war anymore.
No, they don't. I bought rope during the pandemic. It was not really a thick rope, but probably the width of your thumb. And I use it as a border for the nautical artwork I did, the dolphin and the sea turtle and those other things. Yeah, it was a border to keep in the corks that I used. Roy, you used to be, and this shocked me the first time I heard it, didn't you used to be a longshoreman?
Yes, sir.
Which is an industry that is very rope forward.
Yes. So we actually help tie the boats down, really. So
you're good. You know how to,
yeah. How's your knot game?
I used to know how to knot up.
I love watching a boat person tie the rope to like that thing on the dock, like that like S that they do, like that.
Right.
Yeah. I used to know how to do it.
I think it's basically just like an over, under, and then around, right? Like I kind of know it.
Yeah. It's over, under, over.
Yeah.
Under,
it's like you kind of make like a
fisherman's knot.
And then you go around. Yeah.
I would have been a fraudulent Eagle Scout. I did everything. I got all my merit badges, did everything to earn my Eagle except for redo the paperwork. I submitted it. They rejected it. And I said, screw you guys. I don't want this anyway. And so I didn't do it. But like, I don't remember any of my knots. I can fake a few knots. But I still have to like, if I want to tie a real knot, I have to look it up online.
But at least you got your badges.
At least I have my badges.
Put it on the poll. Do you remember all your knots?
The only knots I remember are Don knots.
What about the Lunots?
Oh, very nice. Are the Cody's friends and relatives the Lunots?
If we don't want to lose more of our audience, we better not mention that this again. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next topic.
How about that?
Let's not talk about that anymore.
Okay, so Ohio State University won the trademark to use the word the. The Ohio State University.
Wow.
But I want everyone to relax because the Greg Cody Show podcast is not dropping the thee. I don't care if they take me to the Supreme Court, even though I hate the Supreme Court. I will not drop the thee from the Greg Cody Show. So I just want to make that clear.
Speaking of knots.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys hear about Elon Musk's daughter?
No.
Okay. Elon Musk. And by the way, Elon Musk to me sounds like the name of a failed 1970s fragrance, but Elon Musk has an 18-year-old.
God, you've been trying to get that joke off the ground for so long. That's been a topic. That's been one of his topics for the Levitard show for like 3 months.
It has. And by the way, that's the only reason I started my own podcast, so I could say shit that Levitard never lets me go, never do, because I send, okay, I'm not going to start complaining here, but you reminded me.
You don't realize how this works. We all send topics. We all have shit we want to talk about, and you don't get to all of it. My dad gets like insulted if he doesn't hit every single topic on his list. It's like, that's a good show. If you don't get to the topic lists, that means you just had a free-flowing conversation. And you didn't need to like, you know, work in like topics.
I was just cut out of an entire episode of Stupidity. And have I blocked Billy Gill for doing that? No.
you did one of the Zoom Zooms?
Yeah. I got cut.
Wow.
That had to hurt.
It wasn't that great. I wasn't great. So.
Oh, I want to call Billy right now and be like, why'd you get Yeti from Zoom?
I did a great ad for Sheets and Giggles, too. But
anyway, Levitard never goes to any of my topics. In fact, I had a great question for Ice Cube the other day, and I presented it to Levitard, and he never let me say it.
Oh, but how bad was it?
Was it? Like, how long does it take you to melt or something?
No. Ice Cube was talking about, he's the founder of the Big Three Basketball League, and he was talking quite frankly about how he wishes it had more national media attention, okay? I know he's got an allegiance to the L.A. Lakers, so I was going to ask him, quite frankly, if he's lining up some involvement by LeBron James in 5-7 years. Now, let's not mistake it. LeBron James is never going to play in that league, and he's never going to coach in that league, but I could see him lending his name to that league and supporting it in some way.
No. Yeah. Dad, no, like, that league is for, like, the middle tier players and below. Like, you never see – I think Joe Johnson is, like, the best player that you've seen, like, actually – put his name with that league. Like that, a Hall of Famer, like a Hall of Famer, Ray Allen doesn't need to play in the Big Three after the NBA. Right. Like a Hall of Fame level player doesn't do that. This is for the people that.
And as I thought I made pretty clear, I'm not talking about him ever playing or coaching in the league, but I don't know how tight LeBron and Ice Cube are. What if they're close?
You realize the amount of money LeBron would have to get from the Big Three to like agree to do what you're talking about? Like he's not just going to do that because he's nice. Like, if you want LeBron to be the face of your league, you got to probably give him like $300 million. And that's probably two times the entire budget of the entire league. So, like, it just doesn't make sense to spend that type of money. I mean, I guess you're right. LeBron putting his name on it would probably make it more popular. But I don't see them forking over the money. Like, that is not something LeBron is just going to, oh, sure. Like, LeBron's probably looking at, like, broadcast. He's probably looking at this Brady deal thinking, oh, I'm going to go be the next Mark Jackson.
Right. But you're envisioning a major business deal. My theory is, let's just say LeBron and Ice Cube are friends. Then LeBron agrees to start talking up the Big Three a little bit. It's a good platform. I'm glad we have it.
What's like LeBron is a businessman, Dad. You're just like, maybe he's just going to be nice. And, you know, it's just like, I don't see that.
Okay. Back to Elon Musk's daughter. She's 18 years old. She's a young transgender woman, and she just changed her name, including her last name, because she no longer wanted to be associated with her father. And this interested me because this is a young woman who has her future set. I mean, can you imagine being a young adult child of the world's richest man? And she's potentially giving up an inheritance by estranging herself from her father. And I just found that interesting. I wanted to sort of say, well, good for her if she feels that strongly and has to realize she's giving up potentially billions of dollars in the future. That was just something that surprised me. What do you guys think about that? Don't give a shit? That's fine.
Sorry.
Okay. I do love Dead Air. I really do. It has a, you mentioned ropes. I think Dead Air is underutilized. You know,
it's needed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's that?
let's go Dead Air right now and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay. All right.
Hey, listeners, summertime is here, so head over to shop.thegregcodyshow.com where you can get free shipping from now through the end of June. You can also find our new limited That Kind of Thing edition of the Greg Cody floating head design. Get it on a shirt, a hat, or even a fanny pack. Free shipping, great designs, now through the end of June at shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
So will you buy Greg Cody's floating head on a shirt today?
Hey, please make sure to check out that merch store. We're pretty proud of it, and we're so glad that you all are buying stuff from it. Keep it up.
Free shipping now through the end of June.
Ripping.
Okay. Hey, I try not to get too serious on this podcast all that often, although last week I did blast a guy who tried to disrupt an LGBTQ parade. But I can't let an episode go by without mentioning the Supreme Court undoing Roe versus Wade, which had been a federal civil rights law protecting women's personal rights since the early 70s. And now all of a sudden it disappears and states all over the country are scrambling to abolish, really, a woman's right to choose while protests against the Supreme Court are happening all over the country. I can't believe, I never thought I would live to see the day when we had a majority Supreme Court that would do something like this. And now one of the justices is even suggesting this could lead to an abolishing of gay marriage. I tweeted out that the country's really becoming way too close to The Handmaid's Tale for me. It's really a regression of civil rights, and I just find it abhorrent. I'm embarrassed by the Supreme Court, and it's you know, there used to be a separation of church and state in this country where this is a religious thing. If you're against Roe versus Wade, chances are pretty strong that it's founded in your religious beliefs, which is fine. But religious beliefs should not be the law of the land. And this has been a law for generations now. And for women, all of a sudden, to have this right taken away from them, I just think is absolutely abhorrent. You all are welcome to chime in if you'd like.
I'm just blown away by this. It's so backwards. And it's like, you sit here frustrated. It's like, what can you do? So like, I'm sitting here yesterday when it happened and I'm just thinking like, what is the, like, what can someone like us that like, what do we do? And I think the answer is vote and donate, right? Like, it's just like, you sit here and it's like, I can tweet about it. I can, you know, but it's like, what's really gonna like help this situation, right? It's just vote and it's donate, but it's just so backwards and frustrating. And it's just a dark day yesterday.
The problem with that is you say, go out and vote. Well, voting rights by the Supreme Court actually stripped the Voting Rights Act. So there's that now. And voter rights are being taken away from a large group of Americans. That's going to be a problem. Donations, like why should I give you my money if you're not going to help me? Right. You haven't really done anything. Like, you're not stopping them from making these decisions. So why should I give them my money?
But what do you do then?
Protests. You're going to have to use your First Amendment rights in this situation. Like, but we're now a police state. So they're expanding gun rights, which is also what they did this week. And cops, like, they also, with the Miranda rights, like, you can't sue cops if they don't give it, give your Miranda rights. You can't sue them. So there's that too. So they're giving police more power. They're giving gun owners more power. They strip power from voters. Women. They strip power from voters. It's bad. It's just really, really bad right now.
Yeah. I agree. Chris, you bring up a great point. I don't necessarily know what to do. Yes, we can try voting. We can try, but it's going to be, it would take people that haven't been gerrymandered out of their power, their districts, that actually believe that way. But there's a reason they gerrymandered these things in the way that they did. because they know how to seal off portions of the voting power and funnel it into other areas. And Greg, to your point about the religion, you know, I mean, everyone on this show knows that, you know, I teach Sunday school. I go to church every week. But there's something from the good book that Jesus said is that by their fruits you shall know them. But there are so many that, especially in the legislature, it's about keeping their power. And by their fruits you shall know them. And their fruits have shown, we're willing to say, let's get rid of jewels because it'll hurt the children. Right. We're willing to say, let's get rid of any gun restrictions because, well, we want that. We're going to value, you know, our membership in the NRA over the life of the kids who are here, over the life of people who want to go to a grocery store or a theater or anything like that. They're going willing to do anything except the thing that really matters. And while, you know, I was raised, and the way I was raised and the feelings I had about abortion growing up were very much on the side that got their vote yesterday.
Yeah.
In the last several years, as I've grown up and I've learned things and I've seen the, you know, a woman's perspective, as I've seen the, you know, the perspective of women and heard their stories and understood more and examined my beliefs, I am pro-choice. And I'm against laws that can punish how someone wants to handle their body if they become pregnant. If they can legislate how a woman handles the things that are going on with her body, then the door's open to legislating how any of us handle our health and the things going on with our bodies. And that's dangerous. If I say that one group can't have a right, one day it can easily be thrown on me. And we can't say it would never happen. I never would have thought I would have seen something like January 6th, but it happened. I never would have thought I would have seen police in... like the Miranda rights, that was something so vital. And now they can't, you know, they're making it easier for them to get away with the shady stuff. I never would have thought, but here we are. Mm-hmm. And now you look at Thomas didn't even try to hide it.
Right.
Hey, now that we've gotten rid of this, now we should examine some of these other things that legislate things that are done in the bedroom between consensual adults, heck, between husband and wife, even.
Right.
It's an unraveling. And there's so many people from the side that I used to belong to that will preach and say, we're trying to institute the other side. The liberals are trying to institute Sharia law and they want us to become a state like Iran. They have just created a scene that has opened that door for themselves to be the authoritarians. And it's disgusting and it's sick. And I don't know what to do other than gripe about it on this phone. There are donations to places that will help give people access, but that's such a small minority when you look at the groups that don't get access to the current charities that we have on the daily. I look at downtown Atlanta, the people sleeping on the streets there when I go to work every day. Those people don't have access to the things we had that were easy to get.
Now it's
going to be that much harder.
And in Justice Thomas, by the way, we're talking about the guy whose wife has been implicated in supporting what happened on January 6th. I hate that the Supreme Court we have right now is blatantly going against the will of the people. Every national poll says that people support a woman's right to choose, and they are just blatantly defying the will of the people. And but we've talked enough about that.
Keep in mind, two of those justices have been accused of being sexual assaulters. So there's that. And three of those justices, they were appointed by presidents who didn't even win the popular vote.
Right. Yeah, and was impeached twice.
Yeah, it's illegitimate.
I thought everything Yeti said was beautiful, but all I heard was the way he said theater.
So you are.
He has to pronounce every letter in the word. It's just
theater. Theater. I don't
theater. It's a theater.
Okay.
All right, Roy and I got to check out. We got to go.
All right, checking it out. Thanks for joining us, guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Sign off, and Yeti and I will carry on and bring this ship into port. Yeti, I have never heard you say anything that indicated to me you're a big golf fan. Are you?
No, I don't follow it. I listen to like you and Chris talk, or anyone on Lebatard Show talk. So I know some of the key names, but I haven't played golf in 20 years.
Yeah,
and I've really only played like less than 10 times. I enjoy, like, I started going out to Topgolf last year, and that was fun. I enjoy getting out of the driver engine. I'd like to play more, but it's just always, it's expensive. It's a whole to do. I don't have clubs, but I'd like to think I'd get into it again. It's a game. I enjoy the skill that goes into it, the measurements that you have to take and like the methodical nature you have to take. So I'm aware of LIV versus PGA. So I'm somewhat in the know.
Yeah. Well, what's happening right now at the top echelon of golf is a civil war. It's a mutiny by some of the biggest players on the PGA Tour to chase the money, the Saudi Arabian blood money, to this new league. And it threatens to rip apart golf. And my gut feeling is to just criticize these golfers who are chasing the easy millions, even though the money comes from a Saudi regime that has killed a Washington Post reporter, says our CIA, and is just full of, you talk about the treatment of women, the Saudi Arabia does not lead the league in that by any means. They're full of human rights violations, according to the Human Rights Watch. But the PGA Tour effed up here. The PGA Tour had every chance to make it so much more difficult for the LIV Golf Tour to get any kind of a foothold. They could have, back in February, they had a chance to enact a lot of these changes that they're now doing too late to sort of mimic what appeals to players about the Saudi Tour. But more than that, the PGA Tour, when they first heard about this a year ago, 2 years ago, what they needed to do was marshal all of the various elements of golf and get a consensus against what's happening with the LIV Golf Tour. The PGA Tour couldn't do it alone. They needed to get the four majors on board. They needed to get the USGA on board. They needed to get the European Tour on board. They needed to get the Ryder Cup on board. All of these major elements of golf. They needed to get the World Golf Rankings on board. They needed to have a united front as the only possible way to deter LIV Golf, and they didn't do it, and that's on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, so you're saying if they had been able to basically play politics with the other partners that their golfers, like the other tournaments and things that their golfers participate in, and say, hey, stand in solidarity with us, they could have taken away a lot of the power of LIV?
Yes.
Yeah, because they would have gotten the legacy names of things, you know, the legacy of those tournaments, which are the ones the guys really care about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And because LIV could make up some other big tournaments, but they don't have the decades of legacy. So,
right.
Yeah. Maybe that would have been the way.
I mean, if you defect to LIV Golf, you're playing in a vacuum. Your games aren't, the tournaments aren't even televised. There's no majors over there. You're playing in a vacuum. And you don't even have world rankings points, although they're applying now to the World Golf Rankings to include LIV results. And I doubt that's going to happen. But if you tell the LIV golfers you cannot play in any of the four majors, that would have stopped people from going. But, you know, if they're allowed to play in some of the majors, at least a couple of them, then you, what is your argument? You know, you don't have an argument.
Do you know how the World Golf Rankings work? Because I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, there's you know, everything is weighted. If you win the U.S. Open, obviously you get much more credit than if you win a local tournament, you know, any other.
The U.S., that's funny to me because U.S. Open changes courses through every year, right?
Yeah, the Masters is the only tournament that plays the same course every year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like you're playing on the same course and it's like the hardest course, so therefore it should have a greater weight. It's just going off the legacy of the U.S. Open. That's funny.
And the idea that the U.S. Open is guaranteed to have an A-plus level field. Whereas if you're playing in a regular non-major tournament, the competition is much less.
Right. But golf is funny to me that way, too, because they do that with their scores. Like at least maybe not in I don't know how professional golf works. But I know if you and Chris go out, you are playing with a handicap. Please explain the handicap to me because I think I have a point to make.
OK, well, my handicap is that I'm a shitty golfer in terms of what the actual number might be. You know, basically, you're supposed to play a certain number of tournaments or rounds and keep track of your score. And if par is 72 and I'm consistently, and I average 97, let's say, my handicap is 25.
Okay.
If Christopher averages 79, his handicap is 7.
Now, how does that play into like when you're going to go play with Stugatz? Like what's your hand? Does that mean he spots you a few swings?
Yeah. Yeah. He would probably be.
It's just a game of lies. It's just saying, hey, I'm better than I actually am on the scorecard.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Like Christopher and I, when we played golf as part of the Father-Son Olympics, Christopher and I have played 100 rounds together, maybe more. So we know each other's game. He knows what I'm shooting. I know what he's shooting. And we sort of agreed that he's probably 18 shots better than me.
Right.
Okay. So he's given me a stroke a hole. So if I lose by 17 shots, I win.
Yeah. So it's a game of lies.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. You know, I can't.
What if we did that in baseball? It's like, well, you strike out a lot, so we're going to give you a few extra swings on the.
Oh, it would be fascinating if they did that in other sports. You know, if
oh gosh, baseball would be so much longer than it already is if we. Did
oh
that
my
there.
God,
and I mean, we and pick up basketball. Like, I mean, if I'm playing against my kids, I mean, you know, yeah, I might give them okay. We're play to 10. I'll spot you 8. You
right,
because I'm not going to let them score.
Yeah,
please. But
well, but the point spreads are like that. Like in the NFL, let's say
I don't understand gambling at all. So like when you talk about the point spread, like it's
yeah, in the point spread, one team is favored over another team by let's say 7.5 points.
Yeah.
Okay, that's whether you win or lose the bet based on the final score.
You take the over or under.
Yeah, but imagine if it was like golf where you had to win by that much. In other words, if the Dallas Cowboys are favored by 7.5, but they only win by 7, they lose the game.
Right.
They don't just lose the bet for people who supported them. They actually lose the game.
You know, I mean, I wonder if, because you look at what the Saudis have done with LIV, if casinos or gambling, you know, other gambling companies wanted to start their own league that's like that. I know we have it similar with, they have the fan-run football.
Yeah.
Fan ran football league.
Yeah. Fan controlled football. Yeah.
I'm sure that is fairly gambling influenced, but like if it's actually ran by MGM casinos or, you know, the Harrah's football league or something like that, or they start their own league that is only gambling companies and that's how right. You win is based on the spread.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting way to play the game, especially with how rabid gambling is.
And it's not unfeasible. It really isn't. There's a revolution going on across sports right now when you consider the change in the college game where the transfer portal has players leaving schools after 1 year and schools.
Do you think it would be more likely to happen on the college level than a current professional level? Like basically say this is a new professional league for that targets college age kids?
I do know that in college right now, there's a lot of movement. And if the 8 or 10 top programs in the country, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, all of a sudden got together and said, we're forming a super league.
Mm-hmm.
If they could make that happen, TV would flock after them. TV money would be through the roof. And when you look at what's happening in golf right now, if I was running professional tennis, I'd be pretty worried because the Saudi money could be doing the exact same thing mm-hmm. in tennis as it's doing in golf. And it's an individual sport. So players would be totally free to leave. You know, they're not under contract with, well, they technically they are under contract, which is why the PGA Tour has the ability to suspend players who do what they're doing. But in tennis, it would be ripe for what's happening in golf to happen in tennis. Yeah,
I think so. What about pickleball? Pickleball's next. Watch out, folks.
There you go. And cornhole.
You're going to be pickleballing on your 4th of July week vacation?
You know what? No, but I am intrigued in setting up my cornhole set in the backyard and kicking Christopher's ass because he thinks he's pretty good at cornhole, but I am. I know I am.
So are we, let's tell the fans now, are we releasing an episode on the 4th of July? That's a Monday. That's our normal release day.
I think I'd like to.
Okay.
I think I'd like to.
All right. Well, we've just committed to it unless we want to make Greg a liar. So,
or unless we just change our mind and get lazy. Which is also a strong possibility. But no, we're actually doing something on the 4th of July that's returning and reprising an old family tradition.
And the Cody family beach trip.
Yeah. And it's the second generation. It's Christopher and the adult children who are leading the charge this time while me and others my age are pretty much just sitting in a lawn chair drinking while the youngins do all the heavy lifting. So that's going to be neat. So as far as I know, we are going to have a special holiday episode out next Monday.
Yeah, that should involve the return of the Greg Cody Show Olympics just in time for the 4th of July. So everyone have a great, safe trip to your destinations for that day. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you also go to shop.thegregcodyshow.com anytime, but especially between now and June 30th. Free shipping on everything featuring our limited edition floating head with that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. That's right. And for now, we thank Christopher and Rory Bellamy for joining us from Denver. And thank you all, most of all. And we'll catch you next week. See you.
If Edwin Pope asked if you would spoon when you are sharing that time in Barcelona, would you be the big spoon or the little spoon?
I would be the big spoon only because Edwin was a diminutive man. He was not big of stature. So I would probably be the big spoon. That only happened once or twice.